good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for Your Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 26, 2021, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 94, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Laura R. reading the 12 steps, Dori T. reading the 12 traditions, and reading our text are Betsy H., Kara L., and Shelley E. Our share ID for yesterday's special edition meeting, Sunday, October 24th, is 17,970, or 17,970. And the meeting for this morning, 7 a.m., October 25th, the number is 17,975, or 17,975. Our newcomer greeter today is Elena A.M., and announcements will be given by Leslie M. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. And Dori P., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Thank you for your service, Kathy. Dori P. in Georgia, compulsive overeater. These are our traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group must never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever not professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Nopa.
Thank you, Dori P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we begin our study of the Big Book on page 94, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Betsy H. to get us started. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Kathy. Betsy H., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital role in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. He should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. This is some good advice here. That I, when I'm talking to a new person, a suffering compulsive overeater, I explain how I straightened out my past. In other words, I worked the steps, cleaned house, and this is a good point that really, if the person doesn't want to work the steps with me, or doesn't want to work in the program, or maybe switches to a different sponsor, for example, I shouldn't be offended. I don't need to be offended, because really just talking to that person helped me more than I helped them, most likely. And it repeats that twice in this paragraph. It is so important for me to get out of myself and help others. It even says here, put the welfare of other people ahead of my own. I would never do that as a food addict. I would always be first and foremost thinking about how can I get things for myself? How can I solve my problems? And so this is like a total different way of doing things to work the 12 steps and to put the welfare of other people ahead of my own. And it's interesting, it says here that the more hope, if I disturb him, you know, maybe I make a friend, if I disturb him or her about the question of compulsive overeating, maybe that is fine. You know, I don't like to disturb people. I don't like to see people upset due to something I said to them. But it's interesting that it says that that's actually might be fine. It says the more hopeless the person feels, the better. The person will be more likely to follow my suggestions. Not that they need to follow my suggestions, but maybe they'd be more likely to follow the suggestions in the big book. And then they can get recovery. They don't have to compulsive overeat anymore. And although it's unpleasant to feel so hopeless, I do feel that was really my step one experience, just a very hopeless, a despairing feeling of just being, of just feeling like I'm screwed. I just can't solve this food addiction. And it did make me more willing to follow suggestions in the 12-step program, even though I felt so bad, you know. Maybe if everything had been going so great, I probably wouldn't have followed the suggestions of working the 12 steps. And though it was hard to go through that, working the 12 steps has brought me to a much better way of life. And I'll keep coming back. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Betsy H., for getting us started today. Okay, I would like to take names of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this line in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Shanna C.
Cynthia C.
Yes. Shanna C.
Great.
Cynthia C.
Michelle G.
Michelle G.
Shannon M.
Shannon M.
Yes.
Thank you. I can take a few more names. I have Janice C., Cynthia C., Michelle G., and Shannon M. Would anyone else like to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
F.R.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name.
Ann R.
Okay, got it, Ann. Thank you. Okay, we'll stop there for now. Janice C., please get us started.
Good morning, this is Shanna C. from East Tennessee. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Shanna.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yes, this is Shanna C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Eater from East Tennessee. Happy to be on the line and happy to be a abstinent member of Overeaters Anonymous, and it's a miracle for my life because someone took these directions seriously and was available to help that person who cried out one Sunday morning after hearing her give her special edition talk. I had reached the nadir of despair the Big Book talks about, and I don't mean that to sound frothy, but it was true. Those words are so true, at least for me. I had every means of solving my problem was at my disposal, and everything I had ever tried had failed. And I was absolutely desperate. Gave somebody a call, like I said, who had given her talk that morning, and she just so happened to have a position open up for sponsorship, and shared with her what was going on with me. And we have very, very similar stories, and what I heard from her was a lot of hope. What I heard from her was a practical program of action, steps that she had taken that enabled her to remain abstinent for over 20-something years. And I couldn't even stay abstinent a day. I just followed the directions that it was given, and their directions out of the big book, and took the steps. And at the end, when I got to the point of helping others, she said, in order to keep what you have, you got to give it away. And I love being the way I am now. And if there's anything I can do to help anyone, just give me a ring. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thanks so much, Shanna. Cynthia C., please share with us.
Cynthia C., did you call on me?
Yes.
It was great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm so grateful, and I just heard exactly what I needed to hear. That reading was just perfect for me because I get so caught up, I want to say when I'm sponsoring, but it's not just when I'm, I get caught up in this people-pleasing and this wanting to fix people and control the situation and make everything better and feeling like I know what's best. And I've really, really learned in my years of recovery, and my years of working the steps, and my years of sponsoring, that that's just not my role. Like, that is not my role. That is not my role. That is not my role. Like, I've said over and over again. My role in sponsoring really is to simply share my experience and strength and hope. What worked for me? And in a vision for you, I teach people or I share my experience, strength, and hope, and how I recovered using the steps written, in the big book. And when I can stick to that, it's just so much better. Like, yet I'm human and I fall back into people pleasing and I I feel like I have to. There's a part of me at times where I felt like I needed to convince people why this works. And, I'm just learning that when someone's not ready for the program, they're not ready for the program. Just like it says in that paragraph, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but maybe I got them thinking, this is what worked for me. How is what you're doing, is what you're doing working for you? If it's not working for you, maybe there's another way. And if it's not my way, maybe there's somebody else out there who has an approach that might be different, because I spent 20 years in relapse, 20 years trying to do it my way, and that didn't work. And that I can share with someone, but I can't, I'm learning, I can't make someone ready when they're not ready, when they're just not ready. And I don't have the magic solution. I realized to find out, listen, when someone reaches out to me to sponsor them, are they ready? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know that they really know. When you're ready, when I came in, I was willing to do almost anything that my sponsor asked of me. And just to also say, that the first person who started sponsoring me, who has a strong, strong, strong program, that wasn't the right person for me. And I was able to just say kindly to her, like, this isn't working for me. And I worked with somebody else who's still my sponsor. And the first person is a dear friend of mine who I learned so much from, still in program, even though she wasn't the one to guide me through the steps. She's my stepsister. So I just am so, I'll pass with that. But I'm just really grateful that, we don't do this on our own. We don't do this on our own, that we have each other, that we share experience, strength, and hope, that, I don't have to be perfect on any day. And it's not my job to fix somebody who comes to me. It's my job to simply share my experience, strength, and hope and what worked for me. And I'm grateful to starting to learn to be right size, in body and in spirit and in soul and in my head. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Michelle G., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Michelle G., recovered compulsive eater, bulimics in Boston. Thank you, Kathy, my local sister. I want to, when I work with another person, I have to really tap into how I felt when I was working with a sponsor for the first time. And I felt like I was such a burden. And so I have to remind them, like it says in this paragraph, it says a couple times, they're under no obligation to me. it says it twice, and it doesn't, but it also emphasizes twice, I think, and I'm not looking at the pages right now, but it also emphasizes twice, I think, that that they carry the message when they get this, when they are on the other side and recovered and have had a spiritual awakening, that's kind of what I'm reading into it, is that it's up to them to carry it on to the next person. And so when I go back to how I felt when I was brand new and cracking open the book and seeing the first title page and saying, you know, we 100 men and women who have recovered from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, like there's a lot in that phrase that that gives a lot of hope. And I say, I was just like you. I was like, I could not see my way out of this hell. And now that I have seen my way out of this hell and I've had a spiritual reorganization, it's up to me to carry this message to the next sick and suffering person. And my hope for you is that you can have this same joy, that you can carry this to the next sick and suffering person. And to make it like an exciting proposition that, like, I do this because I'm a feel-good junkie. Like, I do this because I get such a, like, an amazing hit from helping another person get through this process and to, like witness them having an awakening. Like, it's powerful. It's beautiful. It's better than any, like, bag of anything. And so I love that, and I want to pass on that, like, they too can do this because they're just like me, and I was as sick and desperate and dead inside as they are. And, like, and so I think, like, not that I'm any better than anybody else, that, like, I'm just, like, another, like, just like anybody else. And it's all within... All right, I'm getting wordy. I think I'm going to pass with that. I just want to pass on that I'm going to pass with that. All right, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Michelle G. Shannon M., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, thank you. I'm Shannon M. I'm working on step 12, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and Seattle, Washington, and this morning I was thinking about, over the years, I've sponsored quite a few people in OA, and I've not always understood my role as a sponsor. And I was thinking this morning as I was listening to the shares, how I often mistook my role to be as, you know, a troubleshooter for someone's problems, or a life coach, or, you know, even to my embarrassment sometimes when I think about it, to practice armchair psychology about things I had no business, you know, directing anybody to do. And one of the things I love about this time through the steps and the sponsor I have today is that the emphasis is on love and correct information. And correct information is, like it says at the beginning of this paragraph, the program of action, which is what is outlined in this big book. And I am, you know, I really appreciate this paragraph because I know that in my sickness, I have often mistaken what my role is in program and or as a sponsor or as a sponsee. And you know, for today, I get these beautiful directions that tell me my job is to pass on the message in the big book, to pass on the correct information that has been given to me. You know, I am not qualified to do anything except share what I've done to have this spiritual awakening that I've been experiencing, to have the neutrality around food, and to have, most importantly at all, this ever-increasing relationship with a higher power. Because ultimately, you know, since lack of power is my dilemma, I must clear the obstructions to God. And I just really value the sponsoring that I had that has helped me clear those obstructions to God by staying within the parameters of what our work and our mission is here in OA and in working through the big book. And I think that's all I have to share this morning, and I pass.
Thank you, Shannon M. And Deborah, I'm sorry I didn't catch your initial of your last name.
Hi, Kathy, it's G.
Okay, thanks.
It was M, M as in monkey.
Right. Please go
ahead. Hi.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathy, so much for chairing the meeting and all those that have made this meeting possible this morning. It's just so wonderful to be able to start the day with this. And I was coming up for me, I was thinking about the helplessness, the no power I was feeling when I first came to my sponsor, because I got tired of the suffering with the relapse and relapsing and relapsing, and finally gave up the last alcoholic food, and she took me, guided me through those beautiful 12 steps so that I could get neutrality and living in 10, 11, and 12. And she would remind me when working with others to just meet them where they're at, you know, and just to take them through, guide them through the steps and let them have their experience. And I'm learning to do that, and it's just been wonderful. And I love listening to what they have to say with the experience, you know, and continue to do that with others. And I also have them call others while they're doing their experience to share that with others. And so not only are they, say, for instance, on a second step, but they're also 12-stepping, because I have them live in 10, 11, and 12 while they're going through 1 through 9. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I feel that I pray before we pray. I pray before I talk with her, and we pray before going through. We pray before talking. Lots of prayers, continuing to invite that power, because we both have no power. Continue to invite that power in that experience and just see how things unfold. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah G. Ann R., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. My name is Ann R. I'm a compulsive overeater in California, and I'm a huffing and a puffing because I'm just trying to get up the stairs and get my little dogs back inside. I was hoping to get this done before I got on, but I'm almost home. Anyway, I wanted to say that I'm getting some ahas this morning from my higher power, one of which is the infamous saying, I got this. I got this. And I'm sorry. Thank you, everyone, for being there for me. I don't got this. The despair piece in the paragraph was the aha that said, and as long as you think you're working a program and you're not abstinent, an OA program, and you're not abstinent, you're trying to drive the bus that says, I got this, and I don't. So the hopelessness that takes me to yet another surrendering bottom is the hopelessness that saves my life one second at a time. I had like 4 days, and I went to an event last night, and there was food everywhere, and I had it in my hands, and I relapsed. And on the way home, I just said, I don't feel good. I feel sick. I'm sick of this. I don't like this feeling anymore, and today's a new day. Today's a new beginning, and the despair that was written about in that paragraph is a gift. It's a gift. and I'm willing to surrender to that. So I just wanted to share that this morning and thank everyone for this meeting. And I pass.
Thank you, Ann R. Okay, we have time for some more sharing. Who would like to share?
This is Janice PM. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, Janice PM. Thank you.
Larry G.
Sally P.
Larry G. Sally P.
Debbie P.
Debbie P. I think we may have time for two more after that. Anybody else?
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Anyone else? Okay, Janice PM, please share with us.
Yes, thank you, Kathy, and please time me if you may, if you can.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm from Massachusetts. And, you know, I love this paragraph because it really shows, first of all, you know, when I came into this program, I was looking for some way out of this problem that I thought was the food. I was looking how to fix it, how to manage it, how to control it, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then I found out, you know, a few things that, number one, you know, that I had no power. That was my problem more than the food. So I was, you know, I knew this, but I was still trying to find the right way, the right sponsor, because that was my goal. Oh, I'll get the right sponsor, the right meeting, blah, blah, blah. But until I have the spiritual awakening, I can't give that message to anyone that is suffering. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to give the result of the spiritual awakening, because that's the goal for me, for us, to find the solution. So what is the solution, really? It isn't a sponsor, like I said, it's not the meeting. It's for a recovered sponsor, recovered compulsive overeater, to give an outline, the program of action, to find that goal, to find that solution, to find that power, whatever you call it. I call that my power, my higher power, God. And if I didn't go through this action, and if I don't do this every day, I cannot experience this spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I'm not going to give a dissertation of what the steps are, but I'm going to just talk about the action that I have to go through. Not the first three steps is a conclusion. I have to start this action by starting a self-appraisal and continue 4 through 12. Okay. And, you know, making it, you know, that they can leave at any time that they want. I'm just out there to try to help. That's all, because I was given this gift of a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. I've had a personality change sufficient to recover from compulsive overeating. John J., Mary, or Joan did not give me this result. Only a higher power, a God of my understanding. So therefore, I didn't need, and I don't on a daily basis, I don't need that food, because I got the goal. Thank you so much. The goal is my higher power. That's the solution. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice PM. Larry G.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. Larry G. from California. Oh, wow. This is the greatest experience of my life, joining Vision for You and studying this big book each day. I have fallen back in love with the big book. I've been around for 40 years in 12-step, but never once in over years anonymous did I ever study the big book. And I've been coming around since 1988. When I read this, I believe I'm halfway there with the person I'm talking to. I think that for me, my opinion is that the single most important ingredient is surrender. And if you're new on this line and you know what that means, you can look up in the big book, Appendix Number 2 on Spiritual Experience. Bill talks about surrender in about 16 different ways. Without surrender, there's no way that I or the person that I'm in front of can move forward. Like I said, I've been around OA since 1988, and there were maybe some times I surrendered. I think most of the time, though, I was out for a diet. I was there to lose weight. I was there to control my eating. I remember just before I got into A Vision for You in 2020, I was in bad shape. And I remember this vision-like sponsor I had. She was a vision-like sponsor. I mean, she worked this program like her hair is on fire. And I remember her saying to me, "No, Larry, maybe you ought to come to the meeting early and leave late so you can talk to a new person. Or, you know, Larry, maybe you can go to an extra meeting a week. You're only going to one meeting a week. Maybe you can go to two meetings a week. Or, you know, Larry, maybe you can write a 10-step before you call me." And you know what I said to her? I said, "If I do everything you ask me to do, I would have to quit my full-time job." What arrogance. I wasn't surrendered, so I know what the lack of surrender looks like. I know what it looks like to surrender today. So when I'm talking to a new person, I have to do an assessment, because I think we do a disservice when we put the plan of eating and the brochure, the plan of eating in their hand, or the tools. Without surrender, I have nothing. And I'm no longer in the convincing game. I'm really not. No one convinced me. I was still relapsing up until May 2020. No one could convince me. I think it's a disservice that I do, or disrespectful, when I try to convince the person in front of me. Either the person has surrendered or not, and that's okay. You know, the one thing I think Vision for You will do for you if you haven't surrendered is one of two things. One, you'll work this program and become recovered, or it will completely screw your eating up, as it has done mine. Anyway, thank you for service, all of you on the line today. I love this fellowship, and I'm out.
Thanks, Larry G. Sally P., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, this is Sally P., recovered in Colorado. Like the fellow that just shared before me, I found OA in New York City in 1981 and went to my first meeting, binged my way in the door, and kind of got zapped at my first meeting, got the big book, only read the stories in the back. I resonated with the stories in the back and got a sponsor right away. And I think it took me 2 years to get through my fourth step. And I kind of did the steps haphazardly because I didn't have guidance. I mean, the person I was working with was abstinent, but I didn't have anyone that really knew a lot about the big book. And I think even in 1981, we lacked that. But just the fellowship and enough and going to meetings and starting meetings and being active in service kept me from returning to my Skid Row binging. And it wasn't until 4 years ago that I realized I was a dry drunk and I didn't care about the weight anymore. I just didn't want to be crazy that I went to a treatment program and got introduced to the first 164 pages of the book and was told at that treatment center that if I didn't get out of there and find a sponsor ASAP, I would pick up again. And I'd scoot around for too many years. I don't have another chance left in me. And so I was furious when I left that program and got on Vision. And it was so interesting because I got a sponsor, and I chose her because she said, I'm ready to take someone through the book like their hair's on fire. And I know some people don't like that, but I needed that. I was like, I can't waste any more time. I need to get this, please. And it wasn't until I called her that I found out she had 15 days of abstinence under her belt. And my first thought was, oh, shit, you can't help me. Anyway, I said, shut up, Sally, because all my friends told me that I had to enter these rooms again with a beginner mind and let go of all the years of knowledge and experience that I thought I had. I thought I knew it all. And she took me through the book, and we read it together. She assigned me podcasts that, correlated with it. She took me through the book, and
she lost her abstinence, I think, 9 months later, and I still don't think she's made it back. And I stayed abstinent. I celebrated 4 years of complete, a new kind of abstinence that I never had before until I went to treatment and found Vision, you know, clean food where, and the obsession's been removed. But, you know, you put the food down and the crazies come up. And I have to continually sponsor people because I need to be in that book. I need to sit down a couple times a week with a person and read that book with them because I see and I hear something new every time. It helps me. And I forget. It's amazing how easy I can forget these simple ways of thinking and living life. And as a result of going through the steps as designed in the big book, I have happiness, joy, and freedom in my life more than I've ever had before. And for me, I when I take on people, I say, this is how I was sponsored. I'm going to sponsor you. I only use the big book. That's all I use. Nothing else has come into my life since then. That is, everything else feels complicated. The big book's not complicated. Anyway, I just really had to share. Just trust that God is going to put the right person in your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally P. Debbie P., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana. What a good meeting. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for your shares. What I'm getting out of this paragraph, first of all, I need to tell my experience of being in the program and what that means. It's kind of like a new language that maybe a newcomer needs to hear, and they might need some explanation of what that means. I know I can make myself confused about things when I hear them new. And also when I'm in the food, I don't think clearly. The other thing that I got from this paragraph, what stood out is you should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. And what I get, I know when I was in the food and I would reach out, somebody might tell me something, which it was probably great suggestions. But if I'm not ready and willing to do them, I'm not going to do them. And I'll keep trying to find somebody to co-sign where I'm at until I'm really ready to surrender. I heard that earlier as well. That this other person has helped me more than I've helped them, that has proven to be true. Anytime I reach out to someone, I do feel like I'm reinforcing my program, where I'm at, what I've gone through, and where God supports me, as well as my support from the program. And so today I feel very grateful for this vision for you, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Debbie P. Nancy L., please share with us. Nancy, press star 1 to unmute. Okay, I don't know what happened to Nancy. We still have time. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to share?
This is Nancy L. Can I be heard?
Oh, now you can. Thanks, Nancy. Oh,
okay, I am sorry. My phone, I've messed up my phone, and I just wanted to.
You now.
Okay, I just wanted to say how much this sharing and the book has meant to me. I've gone through the 12 steps several times, but though I just went through the 12 steps with another sponsor a few weeks ago, and she suggested that I go through the steps with someone else. And I said, well, I don't have anybody to go through the steps with, but God will provide. And then last week, someone called me and asked me to go through the steps with them, and I'm so excited about it. We set up a time today to start working, and yesterday was such a horrendous day for me, and I won't go into those details, but the day was so horrendous. Part of it I handled well, part of it I didn't, and it made me, I allowed the feeling to come over me that I was not worthy enough to be a sponsor, to work with someone else. And I know where that's coming from. It's coming from my own insecurities. So I'm going to go ahead with my commitment to this person today. And though I don't have my program down perfectly, I never will. I will help her however and whenever I can. And I just wanted to say the shares this morning have just really reinforced and lifted my soul spiritually. So I'm ready to give away what has been freely given to me. And I thank you all for your shares and your service. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. We have about a minute and a half. Would anybody like to share? Anyone? Okay, then we will get ready to close the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. I got so much out of listening to all of you today. We are blessed to have this community at Vision for You. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. Kara L., would you please read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only."
Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.